All right, here we go. We're back with another Weekly Sheep Fan podcast, hosted on your very own bullshit platform from our Big Shill Mics. Although it's not Big Shill Mics anymore, it's Shill Farm.
No, it's both. It's Big Shill Mics.
Shill Farm. We're Shill Sheep. We'll speak about that in a bit.
Shill Farm, Big Shill Mics.
Hosted by two part breeds from Yorkshire. One's got bigger nostrils than the other. I think you know who that is. Yep. This is episode 239, I think.
It's episode 239.
Format is simple. We release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one plus download. It's simple. Although we are going to be doing video probably from August as well. We've got that set up now. I've just got to get used to using it. I don't know how that format's going to work, but it'll work pretty similar to this. Maybe not as many videos on there, but yeah. Anyway, all new shows are released on Saturdays, always on our private bullshit platform, sheepfarm.co.uk. We also put part one's also on Podomatic. They ship it out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Dapple, and a few others. Please subscribe to the website for all email notifications, and you can join Chris on Instagram with his growing merry band of men and women.
Growing merry band of sheep farmers, as I say.
Right, okay. Or email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk if you've got an issue with membership or any other question or something you want to fire over to us. My daughter-in-law answers a few of them best we can for us. Thanks for buying supplements from Health Bunker. Remember, use the promo code. There's a new promo out, actually, for Be Regular. Have you tried those yet, Chris, Be Regular?
No.
Right. I don't know if you suffer. Anybody who suffers from constipation, if you go on holiday.
I don't.
This formulation I put together about a year or so ago. They're fantastic for that. I use them myself. My wife uses them. Since we had Lyme, it affected our digestive system. And a lot of people, when they go on holiday, they get constipated. Sometimes it works the other way as well.
Change
your water, change your whatever. Atmosphere, energy, whatever it is. Does alter the way you go to the loo. And sometimes, I remember once going away, and I was like a bloody Michelin man. And that, so I thought to myself, I'm going to have to devise something to get rid of this. And so I devised this with a mate of mine who's a herbalist, and they work perfect.
I'll have to get some of that for my missus. She gets stuff from a bit. I don't.
Yeah. But this, what I've done is, because it's holiday time, people are going away abroad, I've done a 35% off offer. I put the code in. So it's quite a big offer for these. And really, I want some feedback. I want to know how they work for people. Start off low. Just take one if you've got constipation. Take it on a night with some water. See how you feel in the morning. I mean, you feel all right, but I'm all about going to the toilet. And then you can go up to 2 or 3 in a day if you wanted to. It doesn't make you run to the toilet. It's not like one of those ones, like there's a flock of seagulls coming out. A flock of racing pigeons, as Crab Claw said, with these other things that I were using about 20 years ago, 10 years ago. His exact words were, fuck me, they were like a flock of racing pigeons coming out.
You know what it means, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
Audiobly graphic.
Yeah, a bit graphic, but there you go. Look, if you're bunged up, it's not a nice feeling.
It's
not a nice feeling. Yeah, it's like shit.
Give me an opportunity to make a good quality dad joke, though. You're full of shit.
Yeah. I was on holiday that time, believe me. And so I'll read the ingredients out while I'm on this subject. Let me see if I can find all of them so I get it right.
Oh, shilling your products again, fine.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? offering up nearly cost. I'm that good. I haven't even got my own website lined up. What a dick.
Get asked to do it.
Yeah. That'll take about 2 years.
And the rest.
Right, okay. Be regular, they're called. And the 16 a jar. And they've got in aloe vera extract, berberry root, black walnut hulls, cayenne, cloves, fennel seeds, garlic extract, or Allison, as it's called, super concentrate. We've got actually got some of them coming out on their own. Super concentrate garlic. They'll get it for blood pressure, lowering your blood pressure. But anyway, I'll talk about them when they come out. Ginger root, rhubarb root, Fulvic acid, polyelectrolytes, fulvic acid, and polysaccharides, fulvic acid, diabasic acid of fulvic, senna leaf, and wormwood. They're all herbs, by the way.
Don't they do parasites as well?
They're good for parasite cleansing.
Black walnut and
black walnut, fennel seed, garlic, clove, all of them are good for wormwood.
I do listen to you occasionally.
Thank you. But yeah, they work unbelievable, especially if you have a spoon of vitamin C. So if you take a capsule, a couple of capsules, whatever, and have a spoon of vitamin C that same night, you should wake up like a Daley Thompson out of blocks. Right, and on that note, let's move on quite quickly. Right. So Chris's gaping gobs. You got any new gaping gobs out, Chris?
I have got a new bottle opener, a sheet fan one, and a wine stopper, but I ain't put it in my shop yet, like you. Right. I just remembered when you said that. I will put it on, because a wine stopper is a good one, I think.
Well, it is if you drink wine.
Yeah. Oh, and the merch store as well. I made a, and I haven't put this on there either, I'm a fucking idiot. I made up a new tote bag, a big one. That's what I got them samples for. And I got a cooking apron with the Thick as Mint logo on it, which I thought was quite apt. Right.
It's very hurtful, that Thick as Mint.
Operate
I want to be known as somebody highly intelligent. Take myself that seriously, Chris.
Yeah, me too. Thick as Mint. No, never been so proud.
No, I've never been so proud.
Called Thick as Mint by Sir Dom
Jones. By a fucking second-rate comedian.
Laughing is probably a matter of time.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, it's like we're back in the saddle, actually, because we had a week off, a couple of weeks of podcasts that I released. One with Mark, I'm going to talk about that in a bit. One from a couple of years ago with Crow 777, Jason Lindgren, and Wayne McCroy, who's coming back on hopefully in a couple of weeks, is Wayne. And Mark Devlin, who hosted it, called Filling the Void. Great chat, that. I could have just sat back and listened anyway to them guys. And then we released Sage Aquay one as well, the first one.
Yeah.
I put it on YouTube and last week.
Yeah,
I enjoyed doing those with Mike. We'll talk about them in a bit as well. London Live event, it's more or less sold out, to be fair. We did release a few more tickets because the event said we could have a few more seats. So I don't know how many's left. There's only about 20 left, I think.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Going to be interesting. It's a different type of show. There's, what is it, three hours we can do? Whereas normally when we do them up here, we're there all day and all night, really. It's a week, more or less a weekend, Friday and Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we hadn't even spoke about the last event, Chris.
No.
Brian Juice game again.
Yeah. We've got a lot of regulars coming to him now.
Right.
I mean, Arkwright, I've seen him in Bournemouth, bloody London, Yorkshire.
Arkwright.
Oh, did you get that badge you made? You made me a badge for Conspiracy Corner.
Right.
I've got it here, actually. It's in my corner. Right. In my little weird corner.
There's some funny people. Jeff were there. I think he's still there.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. I think the one in September, I think my missus is going to come.
Right.
So, yeah. She can drink me under table.
Right. Doesn't she live under a table?
I laughed this morning. In fact, I've been thinking about it all day. I was on my way to work and I was just talking to Sis and Lou, and Sis has got these. She's got two teddies, right? This is actually weird, this one. She's got two teddies. I think I mentioned before, one of them's called Baba. Hmm. And she called it Baba probably when she was like, as soon as she could talk, basically. And it's a little sheep's head, you know. And it's weird because I never put the two and two together till a couple of years ago that she's got that and we're doing this, Baba, etc. Anyway, she's got another one called Edgar, and it's a big monkey. I bought it for Lou before Sis was born, but she's had it for ages. Don't know why she called it Edgar. Anyway, we're upstairs and it had no clothes on because she's got fucking pyjamas and boxer shorts and all stuff. And I went, oh, Sis, why, you know, just joking with the teddy. I went, well, why have I got no clothes on? And Lou went, I took them off. And I went, what? And I went, she went, I took him off, he looked hot. And I went, like, With a serious, not laughing, with a serious face. And I went, what? What do you mean? She goes, he just looked hot. So I took his clothes off. And I couldn't find his pyjamas or his boxer shorts. I went off.
What about his mankini?
Off the teddy. And even Sis were laughing. And I went to work and I told Alan, who I work with at work, he said, do you think Mrs. is having a nervous breakdown?
Probably living with you.
Looks hot. I've been chuckling about it all day.
Could have been worse. It could have had an Emmett and Summers beads around its neck.
Yeah.
Which piss are you on tonight?
I've got a bottle of Shiraz Malbec that Alan at work gave me for my birthday. It was my birthday last week.
Right.
Thanks for wishing me happy birthday, by the way, Dom.
What, your birthday last week?
Yeah. Right. I even spoke to you on my birthday. You never even said out.
I knew as well. I didn't mention out. I thought, I wonder if he's going to say out.
I don't give a shit.
Sad bastard.
we're a family of.
Took him a week.
We're a family of too many blokes out. Where birthdays are kind of out of the window, aren't we?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. We just don't seem to care.
Northern blokes.
Yeah. Anyway, I got a bottle of Shiraz Malbec from Alan for my birthday. Thank you, Alan.
Right. Yeah. He's southern though, isn't he?
Yeah.
They do it down south, buy presents for men.
Well, to be fair, I buy him a bottle for his birthday as well.
Yeah, you've gone shandy, haven't you?
He's a red wine drinker. Anyway, come on, let's get on. I'm talking absolute shite.
Well, to be honest with you, we've not really done a podcast like this for ages, where we're doing part one and part two. We haven't even got a guest on.
No.
I don't think we have.
Yeah.
Or I've forgotten about him somewhere. Didn't send an invite to him. I want to go through a couple of some of the podcasts released over the last couple of weeks. There were a few interesting comments, let's say. Not necessarily bad ones, just more. I thought I'd answer them. A lot of them would get aimed at me for some reason. I might more mouthy bastard or something.
You're a prick.
Yeah, because I'm a prick, yeah. And thick as mint. A message to Dom. Great show, but I don't understand why you conflate religion with belief. Let me think. Never mind. For me, religion is a matter of faith and has nothing to do with belief. And I'm not disparaging anybody who wants to believe in God. Yeah, I don't hear anybody say, I faith in God. They generally say, I believe in God. But anyway, a difference between mind and heart. Really? That's what you want to think. It's fine. I've no problem. I think I'm the same age and was born in the same riding of Yorkshire. I don't know what that... Anyway,
yes, riding means...
I know what that means. But what I mean is I don't understand what... anyway, right. And somebody else has put, I agree, faith is not the same as belief. So I sent them over. I said, look, the meaning of faith and... It means a strong belief in doctrines of a religion based on spiritual conviction, blah, blah, blah. And then the next one that came back said, if you're quoting dictionaries, that, you know, the controllers have written the dictionaries. All right, well, who wrote fucking Bible? what I mean is, we can only go, where's that going?
I don't think it's good to say effing Bible. You're just going to upset more. Well, I know what you mean.
What I'm trying to say is, if you want to believe in something, right? I don't believe in anything. It sounds a bit fucking sad that, but I don't believe in anything because once you understand what the word means, and I haven't got faith in anybody either or anything, because once you understand the words, you can't have. It means you don't know. It might not be real. That's it. If you don't want to accept that, that's fine by me as well. You know. But don't argue the cause, because there's no cause there to argue once you've got over that hurdle of realising that those words. Now, those words could mean something totally different as well. I agree with you. Yeah? I've no problem with that one either. You know, I'm open-minded enough to think, chuffing hell, how did we get to this part? 20 years ago, I thought something totally different. 10 years ago, I thought something totally different. In 10 years' time, I might think something totally different again. You know? I'm open to everything, right? So I'm not a closed book. I'm not a dogma. But it is a strange scenario that we're getting into an argument here that I don't believe in God, I have faith. It's the same thing, just like trust. Even love is the same thing. These things have to be built over time. Trust has to be built over time, but even that trust can be broken, you know?
Well, I would think I mean, like I've always had a fascination with religion. I've always been interested in it. But I don't know. I couldn't dream of following one because, like I've said before, the book that's old has been.
Be careful, Chris. Otherwise, it'd be a message to Chris.
Yeah, but I'm not.
I'm not taking piss out of this person. They mean well, and it's not a nasty email or anything like that. Okay, just my answer to the email.
Yeah,
That's all.
But you can struggle to believe. Well, like we spoke with Guy Anderson, he was buying the Ethiopian Bible, which had the missing books in it. Yeah. So you've got to question the book. Don't get me wrong; I'm not saying don't have a belief system and a faith in something, but
it's like having hope, though. That if you have hope, here, look, all these words mean something, right? Having hope. If you take hope away from someone, right, then they're going to be depressed, sadly.
But I tell you what, put it another way, right, Dom? What would it take for me to have 100% faith in Christian religion, for instance?
Someone coming and giving you a million bottles of red wine out of one bottle?
That'll do it. Oh, yeah. No, but or appearing in you, I don't know, or appearing to you or something. I don't know what it is.
It has to be something tangible, Chris, is what you're saying.
Even if it's just tangible to me and no one else can see it. Then,
yes, you know, yeah, I agree, totally agree. Like your UFO experience.
Yeah, I saw that thing, but even my viewpoint, now that's changed over the last 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is.
Exactly.
It's changed a number of times, actually.
But also, how many religions are there?
Yeah.
Everybody who has a religion, right, and faith in that religion, as this person has here.
Yeah, they will argue theirs is the right one.
Till Chris's browning face, that their religion's better than everybody else's, and more right than everybody else's.
Another thing I always think is, what if you're born out in the middle of nowhere and you don't have any religion? Are you going to burn in hell? Because the one trouble I do have with if I'm honest, with the Catholic Christian version of burning in hell, if it's an all-forgiving religion, why would you get to burn in hell? That bit's been added. I don't believe it's even in the Bible, is it? You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Do you know what? One of the other answers to this, I didn't include them all, was that there was another person that wrote in about the religion side of it, that, you know, a similar sort of question thing to that. And I thought afterwards, when I'd written a response, I thought, well, I spent best part of 10 years doing Bible studies at school. I didn't want to do them. I had to do them, though. I went to Sunday school, right? My mum, because people wanted to get rid of me because I was annoying her. Went to Sunday school, right? We didn't get brought up in a religious household, but I still went to Sunday school. So I have some knowledge of what the Bible is. You know, every day we sung hymns, and at Christmas we did all the Christmas stuff. You know, so I have I'm not speaking about it from having no interaction with the Bible or religion. Yes.
All schools were quite religious. You did prayers in the morning, prayers
exactly. Yeah, and religious studies and things like that. You were forced to do them up to about whatever it were, year three, as we were in, from junior school right up to year three in
high school. Huh?
High school. I didn't want to do them.
A lot of those religious teachers like to kick the fuck out of you as well.
Yeah, they did.
And I know people who went to nun schools. They're pretty handy with these.
How many of these places are religious schools?
Child abuse.
Boris Johnson's. And so if you're telling me that you've got faith in religion, right, that's fine for me, but don't tell me it's holier than thou because it fucking isn't.
No.
Right? That's nonsense.
Yeah. Okay?
I'm sorry to be blunt there, but it is nonsense.
Yeah. A devastating one I read about was, you know, these Buddhist temples in Tibet, which you think is the holier than how, you know, totally religious, all monks, but, you know, and at the village, this certain village, the monastery's on the hill, the monks come down, and it's an honour for your child's son to be picked by these monks. Then they take him up to the monastery.
Oh, sounding good already.
To train him to be monks. And they don't see him for, like, I can't remember how long it was, 10 years or something. I might be wrong. And then they come back as a monk.
Right.
So I don't want to, and a lot of them report being fiddled with.
Yes.
And they're basically getting...
it's too many stories for that.
They're indoctrinated into a pedo cult in a monastery. Yeah. I'm not saying they all are, by the way.
No, there's no way all of these people are. But, it doesn't take them all, does it?
But it's an attractive place to be as a priest.
To hide away.
To be surrounded by 20 kids, 20 little boys singing a choir.
But also, what happens is that the church or that particular place covers it up because they don't want to eat. It's staining the rest of the people there.
Well, and the Catholic Church classically doesn't do anything about it and moves the priest to another place.
Yes. I don't think it's just the Catholic Church, Chris.
No, it's not just the Catholic. That's what I'm saying. You know, it goes right to Tibetan Buddhism. It's got its creepy hands on all of them.
Anyway,
I don't want to slag off religion because I don't actually like slagging off religion. I find it fascinating and interesting.
No, we're not.
But like you said, I find it fascinating when you think you've got an old Arabic end of the world. And then you've got the old Christians that have fought and battled and killed each other over it for fucking generations and generations. I mean, Spanish Inquisition, were they religious enough for you?
Yeah.
You know?
Burning people at stake, were that religious enough for you?
I know. Where do you go?
Salem's witch trials, were that religious enough for you? I mean, the Puritans, they were called Puritans, right? And they burned people at stake. I know it's hundreds of years ago, but I mean...
But it was on the back of religion.
Yeah, which religion's right? My religion's right. It's like saying Man United are better than Liverpool.
One thing I will say, though, Fatty, if you read the New Testament, I think most of it's good stuff. I really do. You know, it tells you how to live a life.
But the problem is, Chris, it can be... I agree with you. The wording in these books are amazing, but it can be construed or translated to mean several different things. Some people can translate it that it means... I don't know, kill all your enemies. Other people could mean befriend all your enemies. It's construed totally different, all of the religions, not just one. Not just Christianity. It seemed to get a lot of kickback from, Mark Devlin said, from Christians. But it's got nothing to do with that. Anyway, we'll move off that subject because it's one of those subjects, a bit like politics, and I'm having this conversation with my father-in-law. He doesn't understand that I'm not interested in politics. I've got no view on politics.
There's no point.
I can look down on it or look in it, and I've got no view on it.
No, because
they're all lying. Once you realise they're all lying. I said to him, are they all lying bastards? Yes. But such and such is better than such and such. I said, but how can he be? Because he's a lying bastard. What happens if he's just lying that he's nicked your pencil sharp running your rubber, right? But this guy's lying because he's killed you. Because he's lied once. Does that make him... better than the people that have lied 100 times about nicking minor things off you? They're all lying bastards. And, you know, once you get over that hurdle, going back to this, that belief, faith, trust, and all these people, have your trust in some omnipresent whatever, and they'll save you. Well, they're not doing a right good job, I'm afraid. You know?
I see the Old Testament as a... almost the historical events, to be honest with you, a lot of it. And the New Testament, I'm not sure what it is, but like I said, I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. You could lead your life according to it because you're not hurt. It didn't hurt anybody. Old Testament's a bit more fiery in it, but
yeah.
Oh, what I will end this on is I'm very seriously Christian.
Very what, sorry?
Seriously Christian.
Yeah.
It is quite funny, you know, when someone gets you in the street. I remember it in Peckham. You remember I used to live in Peckham? And, you know, big black community, obviously a lot of religious. I remember getting pulled over by these two black ladies going, one, it was like something from a film. One of them was like, what's your name? Believe in God. And there was a little one next to going, believe in God, and repeating everything she said.
Were they all from America?
No, they were American.
Just when you did that voice then.
No, but that's what it reminded me of, you know. One of them was repeating what the other one said.
Ah, right, I get you.
Come to our church where we're a person, go, where's your God? But then when I tell them, they eventually ask you your name and I say, Christian. I always get that.
You should have said Isla Selassie. somebody left a comment on here, right? And again, I'm not mentioning any names. These aren't bad comments. None of them are bad comments. So I don't want anybody to think that. They're just interesting comments to... When we talk on podcasts, sometimes you can listen back and think, bloody hell, I said that and it were wrong. It were wrong date or it were wrong this. Or everybody does it. You're on a podcast for 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
We're not reading the script, yeah? And we're not going back and editing it just to make sure it's right, yeah? So sometimes you say stuff and you think, oh, bollocks, and you can't unsay it.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, but yeah.
No, I did on Mike Williams when I made a mistake.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Everybody does. You know, I've had this conversation with Mark Devlin, and everybody does. But people will just nail you right for that one thing or several things, or you might have said one thing in a podcast that were right, And then you don't say it in that other podcast that you're doing, like a set part two. And they've only listened to part two, so they bring that part two up as though you haven't said it, when in reality you said it 4 years ago or whatever. Yeah. Mm. You can't keep repeating, otherwise the podcast will go on for about 20 hours apiece. Mm. It's just impossible. But anyway, this is about Gaza. Pretty much all I'd agree with everything you say and accept with you saying how and why, etc. But you don't have to accept anything I say. You know, I'm not the font of knowledge. It's just, we're on here, right? When I do genealogy research, that is as accurate as I think it can be. When we're giving us opinion, it's just an opinion. I can't say it's true.
But I am the font of knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. But
I know what you mean. Yeah.
If I say to Chris, you know, they sell Rice Krispies in Sainsbury's, that's the truth. They sell Rice Krispies in Sainsbury's.
Well, a good example of it, in fact, is my rusty tank war theory in Russia that there's no war going on.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong, and you disagree with me to an extent sometimes, but...
What I do agree with...
But it's my visual, my observational opinion of...
Well, it's not a bad segue, that, Chris, actually, because if you equate both those wars, one gets no TV... There's no TV coverage of it, i.e. the Ukraine-Russia.
Occasionally a burning building that
You don't see a war zone, right? No. Hence why Chris calls it rusty tank wars, and I tend to agree with that part of it. Yeah. Right?
Early on when they did it, you'd see a building that looked like it was already down with a rusty tank next to it, saying it had been attacked that night kind of thing.
Yes.
That's why I called it rusty tank wars.
Yeah. So, but there's no... If you were... Right, even if you weren't getting the Russian side of it, right, which the correspondents from the BBC still go to Russia, I believe, there's still news agencies going to Russia and filming there, right? So, but even if they weren't, the funding Ukraine that with that much money, right, the BBC are in Ukraine, they're running there. It's well known that the BBC were running the media operations within Ukraine for Ukraine television, the news operations, i.e. the one that Bill Gates funds, I forget what it's called now, but the BBC News, whatever. And the charity as well. Mm. But they were training the Ukrainian news reporters and all sorts of stuff for the BBC, right? So you would expect there to be coverage of some kind, even if it's a load of jets flying over, dropping bombs on something, or an helicopter gunship, or something happening. You never see that.
Right? No, you just get stories.
So I'll read this email. And accept what you're saying, how and why. Again, we're not the font of knowledge, or I'm not. Chris is. It's the font of wine. Red wine.
Font of wine.
Yeah, font of witch piss. And it's been such a refreshing change to find someone like yourselves, or some people like yourselves. I'm a great fan. Don't know if I like that fan part, but anyway, there you go.
I do.
I've bought loads of merchandise off you too, right? It's getting worrying now. I'm joking. What I've noticed recently is what appears to be the same old banging on and on about bombs, kids, yada, yada, yada. Based on what? What the telebox tells you. I take it Dom hasn't been to Gaza to see it for himself. Just like he hasn't been high enough to see the flat earth. So why are you pushing this agenda? Mm. Pushing this agenda? Right. Firstly, I don't watch news, so I don't watch the television. I don't watch it. Anything that comes from mainstream media that I get is sent generally is 99.99% sent to me either from Crab Claws, Lorraine, Chris, a few other people. Yeah, Alia, a few other people. Right. So all the Matrix videos. Sometimes I've got Matrix videos stored on, but most of them. News articles, the fixed news articles, I don't look for. They're just sent to me, so I don't read newspapers. I don't listen to radio. In fact, if the radio comes on in car, I turn it straight off. I don't even listen to music on radio anymore. I'm a boring bastard, and I certainly don't watch television news. I haven't watched it for about, I can't remember the last time I watched television news. The actual music to the television news, whether it's Sky, BBC, or ITV, makes me blood run cold. Right? So, where do I get my things from? I wasn't in World War One either. And I didn't go to World War Two. And I didn't go to Vietnam. I didn't go to Falkland War, right? I didn't go to Gulf War. But I can read things and realise, not from the mainstream, but people's books and accounts, like World War One diaries, for instance, from people who were on the front lines, etc., etc., and get the accounts. And the same thing is done with Gaza. I listen to people who've been there and who've come back from there, right? It's a totally different thing to going up high and looking down on the earth, because I haven't just made my... What this person's thinking is, I've made my conclusion that the earth is not flat simply because I haven't gone up into high enough. That's only one thing. There are many other things that hasn't, not necessarily convinced me, because I don't believe the government narrative either. But that's another story. So I have not. If you don't want to think that anything's happening there, that's fine. That's your. Well, that's
I was
going
to say they make a good point. To be fair, Fire, you know, because to be honest, that is a good point. You know,
everything could be illusion. Everything, could it?
Yeah, it could. But what I would say personally, and you can, is just from the information that you've gathered from seeing it and hearing it and other things, like I said, I came to my conclusion about the Rusty Tank War. I've come to the conclusion personally that they are annihilating Gaza, because that's gone on for a long, long time. But they make a very good point. It's a very valid point. It's all from the telebox. It's all the same.
Not from my point of view, Ian.
Well, all I'm saying is a lot of the information we get is from these sources as well. So I think it's a good.
I've seen people who've been, and again, it's only the same. Did World War II happen? Did people land on beaches and get shot at by Germans?
Well, we've all got ancestors that were involved.
So what I'm trying to say is there are people, like we were talking about that plane in India, for instance. Yeah, someone at my son's cricket club had to fly home because one of his brother or his parents or something died on it.
Mm.
Right? Is he lying? what I'm trying to say
probably
is
probably not. But
they're the same people that I'm listening to about
shenanigans involved, though.
Yeah, I agreed. But they're the same people you're listening to build a pragmatic view on what's happening. If you think I'm pushing an agenda, that's fine. If you don't think it's happening, that's fine as well. Yeah. Pol Pot killed a million people. Did that happen? You know, people don't think the Nazis killed anybody. I personally do. Yeah. What it built up to be an amount of people that was probably over exaggerated? I would say so, yes. But that's a totally different conversation. You know, Stalin killed loads of people. I weren't there either. You know, where are we going with that sort of theory? You know, you've got to do research on your own. The telebox, don't watch the telebox. So it's a waste of time saying that to me.
But I think that is an interesting observation.
It's an interesting observation, but fucking wasted on me. Because I don't watch it.
No, but saying the telebox doesn't mean just sitting watching fucking telly at 6 o'clock. It means everything we look at, you know, around us.
Like what? That,
well, internet, everything. I'm not disagreeing with you, but what I'm saying is it's not an invalid question.
No, all these questions are valid. That's why I'm reading them out. Yeah.
I don't know what they don't actually say what their conclusion is. They just don't believe. Yeah. So they don't believe that. I mean, because the Gaza shenanigans has gone on forever. I mean, I the first time it ever came to my attention was when I worked in London in Paternoster Square near St. Paul's. And I never knew anything about the Palestinian thing. So we're going back to 2006, I guess, when I worked there. And there was they got a big stand there and they were doing it. And I went up and spoke to these guys and asked them about it. They had all the pictures and, you know, I mean, maybe they were all lying. I don't think they were. But they were talking about the Palestinian struggle against Israel.
I tell you what the issue is, Chris, right? A lot of people are putting the Palestinian thing, and it could be Mexicans or anybody, if they're doing that to them. It's not that it's Palestinians, all
no.
right?
No,
but no favouritism towards Palestinians at all. And it could be another group of people doing it to Puerto Rico or whatever, right? And it's still the same thing, okay?
Any human being. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. The issue is that a lot of people, because of this immigration thing that's happening at the moment, are construing anybody that's Muslim. You're either a Muslim Pakistani rape gang, right?
Yeah.
Or you're Muslims because of this. And I'm not sticking up for Muslims either. I'm not religious.
No, but it's fucking insane, fact.
Let me finish, Chris. Let me finish just before I lose this thread. So the conflating immigration and Palestinians, right? Mm. And it's not the same thing.
Oh, fucking hell, no.
Even the Middle East countries aren't backing people in Gaza. Yeah? Even they aren't backing anybody in Gaza. So it's not just about, as people call them here, the small hats. You know, even the Israeli people are being used. If you think about it, right, we were just talking about how you, with Mike Williams, how you get people to do stuff they don't want to do. You've said this before, how you get them going to war, turn them into murderers.
I think that's
Israel is a prime example.
I think that's the whole point. You've got a lot of Israeli soldiers who think that the Palestinians are less than human.
But it's not just that, Chris. Them Israeli soldiers are shopkeepers yesterday in army killing people tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah? They're just normal people that are now traumatised by a lot of this stuff. I feel as much sympathy with, maybe not as much, but with those people because they're being used as well.
Oh, yeah, they've been propagandised out their ass.
Yeah, yeah. But again, people generalise and say the small hats, you know.
Those Israeli soldiers have been drummed at since they were kids.
Yeah.
They're evil. You're fine. Now go.
I find it sad to throw everybody. Just what we're talking about immigration there. Anybody who's Muslim now is part of this immigration problem. Likewise, anybody who's Jewish is part of the problem. That's nonsense.
But look at it from a BBC point of view, right, Fatih? We've gone over to these countries, and don't start calling me a fucking unpatriotic or whatever. But I don't mean you, but we've got, if you even look at it from a realistic point of view, we've gone over to these countries and carpet bombed a lot of them. And then we moan when these people turn up on our fucking shores. I'm sorry, but it's not our fault and it's not their fault. It's the fucking idiots.
It's a system.
It's a system. The system's a parasitical, satanic, evil, murdering bastard system.
Yeah.
And then it gets us lot arguing about it.
Yes.
This is the sad part of it.
This is the sad. And
as soon as you're angry with someone about immigration, and as soon as you're ranting about immigrants, you've been propagandized, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you've got to stand back. Right?
I'm not saying it's not happening, by the way. But it's happening all over the world at the same time.
Yes.
That can't be a fucking coincidence.
No, it can't.
Fucking COVID nonsense.
You have to stand back and say, does this system murder people? Forget that it's Israel against Palestinians or whoever, right? The answer to that is yes. We've just lived through where they've just injected millions and millions of people in this country alone. And they're getting whacked left, right, and centre, right? Let's not think it ain't happening here. It's happening in a different way here.
They want you dead or sick.
We're going to talk about it in part two. In part two, we're going to talk about how population's dropping. They're actually advertising it now. People have sent me stories, mainstream papers, about there's going to be less children at school. Same in America. Same all over. They're actually telling us now there's going to be less people.
They're filling the holes with this new slave class. They kept telling us for the last 10, 15 years that we're overpopulated. And all the time they were telling us that it would decline.
Yes. And we were saying that, not just on this podcast. I've been saying that for the last 15 years that population's declining.
Well, we've had that discussion of where we grew up, where
there
used to be bustling with people.
Yes.
You know, in Huddersfield, I used to work at the Hilton and we used to do banquets. Silver service. And it'd be bustling with banquets of 500 people and stuff. And where did they all go?
Yeah. So just to finish this off, right? This person says I don't believe a bloody thing that mainstream media tells us, and I do. What, have you not listened to anything that I've done? So why do you believe this? How do you know that it's true? Well, that's the question. I don't know anything that's true.
That is not a bad point, to be fair.
But then, why are we bothering doing this? Let's just turn it off.
Hey, let me give you an example, though.
Which extreme do we go to?
Seb were asking me about Aleister Crowley the other day, right? And he was saying, you know, is he particularly a bad guy? And I went, well, yeah, he's the beast, 666, da da da. So I regurgitated stuff I know. I'm not sagging off anyone's research into this stuff, by the way, because I don't. But what I realised was I've never read one of his books. I haven't actually one-to-one absorbed any of that. I've only second-hand taken that information, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And I just thought it was interesting. And I said to Seb, well.
Yeah, but you've taken second-hand information from, and I agree with you, by the way, second-hand information from people who's research into this subject.
I'm not denying that, and I don't think Seb's particularly right, but what you know what I mean, it's an interesting observation from him to say
The door's always open. You know, if somebody told me tomorrow it's not happening in Gaza and this is the proof, I'd say, do you know what? It's not happening in Gaza. No, it's, I've got no horse in
but
the
then,
race.
But then, here. But then, a problem with all this is, and this is something we've had taught out of us, is to follow your instincts and your fucking.
You could say that about religion as well.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm trying to say is that's, where does it stop? You've got to make a, how can I say, I'll use genealogy. All that genealogy I've done on, say, some of these people, right? It doesn't mean that they're all bad people. We've said this, you know, they could be being used. They might not know their own genealogy. I'm sure Dom Jolly didn't, yeah?
To be honest with you, I think it's a conclusion we've come to over the last 5 years.
Yes. Yeah.
Because initially, we would have gone, oh, it's them against us and da-da-da-da. Yeah. And then we slowly realise that they're probably Winston out of 1984.
Yes. Being used.
They've been used. Mm. They're part of the party. They're the pros.
Yeah. So, you know, who said I believe anything? I've just said I don't believe anything. I'm coming with a set, from my personal opinion, I don't know if you're any different, I'll listen or read things, not necessarily on the main, I don't watch mainstream news, I'll say that again. So what you said, what you've put there is, you're assuming I watch mainstream news, and I don't.
Hmm.
You're assuming that.
And I would say this, my instinct from pieces of nuggets of things that you gather would say that the Gaza thing's happening.
I would as well. Also, though,
to cut a long story short,
somebody else put a comment on not long ago today. Glad to hear you talk about the small lats mentioned. I talk about everybody. It's like you said to me. Somebody called me anti-Semitic, then somebody said I don't talk about Israel or Jewish people.
Yeah, it's a good example of
that. That is it. Works. You came up with that example, and I'd never thought of that. But that is a good example that. People are construed that you've said something one way and somebody another way, you know?
Well, I think what happens is, I think often you're having a conversation and you're just discussing it. Mm-hmm. And say you're doing, because I do it, I'm in my shed painting teeth or whatever, painting my sculptures, and you pick up on a little bit and you think, a better example, you start watching someone and they're saying something about, and you go, oh, they're fucking anti this. And then you get the wrong end of the stick, and as it unfolds, they're actually not, and you've totally misinterpreted what they're saying. Yeah. So if you just hear a little pocket of something, it doesn't necessarily mean that's your opinion, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. Don't mean, in fact, yeah, it doesn't mean that at all. It's a strange one. But again, some of the, what people don't realise is, there'll be, obviously, and Jacko were telling me there were a thing going outside, these hotels, apparently there's been riots out, or protests outside of.
Yeah.
But the odd phenomenon is that there were a load of LGBT people outside. So what's happened is they've gone outside this hostel, basically saying that if you're anti, again, this could be, it sounds like a setup to me, but if you're anti immigration people coming and staying in these hotels, that means you're anti whatever diversity. So now all of a sudden LGBT has linked in with these. So somebody's controlling that element of it somewhere, right?
A bit of fucking comedy sketch,
isn't it? People outside.
A lot of hotel immigrants with a lot of LGBT people.
But then you've got somebody, a group of people outside, who, let's just say, they're more to the right, if you like, politically, right? But yet they're funded by, Tommy Robinson's funded by Israel. He's a proud Zionist.
Do you know, actually, funny to say, I read an article about him today, knocking someone out in King's Cross train station, he's fucked off abroad. But what I found interesting is they now say Tom Robinson, also really known as Yaxley Lennon.
Yeah.
They didn't used to do that, did they?
No.
Now they're openly saying it over, he was in this article for like three times.
I don't know, because I've not read enough about him.
I don't know anything about him.
But yeah, anyway.
But one thing to be sure.
I hope I've answered that. If I am, don't think I think anything wrong with your question, by the way. I'm technically personally not like that.
One thing for sure, all over the world at the same time, they're trying to stir up a fucking hornet's nest.
Well, they are. We have to prepare for an angry world.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking back to old Schwab saying. You have to get ready when everyone gets angry.
Yeah, yeah. And this is what's happening. People who were together in 2020, and we're going to come to the marches next.
Fractured it,
Who were together, and that includes Tommy Robinson's lot. I remember Katie Hopkins and people like that were anti the lockdowns and the jabs and all this other stuff. Now, all of a sudden, it's fractured, like you say, and they're arguing against each other.
Which is what you would do if you're an evil, satanic fucking
Again,
power
I equate it to
lunatic.
After World War II, where the resistance in France were all together fighting the enemy, common enemy, which was the Nazis. After the war ended, they were all blowing each other up, the communists and the right wing and stuff like that, because all of a sudden that enemy had gone. The new enemy was, the enemy of your enemy is your friend, or something like that, anyway. Whatever that phrase is.
But fucking idiots, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Human beings are just idiots, I'm afraid. We're just idiots. We're thick as mints. another one about the London rallies. And to be honest with you, I don't quite understand this. Just listen to the podcast. I think this was one we did with Mark when he recorded it a few months ago, if you remember. So I don't really remember the part, and I haven't gone back to listen to it. Just listen to the podcast before on YouTube. 34 to 36 minutes. I can't believe what you three said about marching in late 2020 and 2021, that it all fizzled out because we sort of protest about not going to football or restaurants. I never said that.
No, me neither.
I think you've got wrong in the stick there, kid. In fact, the protests emotionally, and I never went to one, but I could feel the emotion.
Mark was at them. I wanted to be at them. I never went just because.
What we were saying was that I think. I might be wrong.
I would never say they were pointless. I thought they were fantastic.
In fact, you say opposite actually.
Yeah, total opposite.
I'm glad it's three of us now, not just me.
you feel picked on, fatty.
Yeah. I feel bullied. They did fizzle out, whether we like it or not. There's not a million people in London today marching together because they fizzled out from what we've just been talking about there, where, you know.
But they fizzled them out, so there was no reason to do it anymore.
By stopping the jabs.
Yeah.
As soon as they reached the target, they said, right, back off.
And I will never forget that fucking, I always bring it up that week when old fucking Maltese.
Travis Jabbed.
Yeah. When he said, nurses got to have it by Thursday. Then when it's all right now. Due to new data, they're done.
Yeah.
What? Because you're fucking scared. That's why, you little rat bastard.
Yeah. Whether he was scared or not. But
He was sweating. He was sweating like a...
I don't understand that. They said there were protests about not going to football and restaurants. That wasn't my opinion, that. At all.
No, I don't recall that. I don't recall that.
But I think people were protesting that the so-called freedoms, i.e. going to football and restaurants, were taken away from them.
They might be misunderstanding. I think we might have said not the march people.
I can't remember what I said, so I can't quote myself.
I would hazard a guess. It was about people getting the jib jab because they couldn't go to football and we have said that.
Yeah, it says here. No, we were protesting against the government taking our free. I mean, Mark were there, so you can't.
What I'm saying is, I think we've mentioned that people were going to get the jab to go on holiday and go to football matches.
People marching wouldn't have had them jabs, would they?
Exactly. Yeah.
But we've seen that, some people, we'll talk in a minute about your picture being taken by Jake. Jake's got totally different views to you. Picture taken, sorry, picture painted. He's got totally different views to you. In 2020, you're aligned on those particular things, or would have been if we'd have known him. But now, there's lots of things that he doesn't agree with, what you agree with.
Yeah, 100%.
So, but that's all right, because it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. You know? It doesn't have to be a fight, does it?
No, it doesn't have to be a fight. So someone else put a nice comment on here. This is where we get to, Shill Farm, right? Sheep Farm, James Dellingpole, Sheep Farm and Gareth Ike, Sheep Farm and Sage of Queer, Sheep Farm and Clive DeCarl, although I don't think we spoke to Clive for a couple of years anyway. Jesus, it's taking you fanboys long enough to connect the dots, isn't it? With a laughing face.
Sounds like a poem, that.
It does, yeah. Maybe this guy, a person. I went to their account, though, funnily enough, they've got no videos on.
Right.
They're not really putting themselves out there, are they?
I put a reply to this when you pointed out to me. Right. What was the other one? A freaking Ike, LOL. How are Shill Fam doing these days? Shill Fam's a fucking cracker.
You know what? That is a cracker, isn't it?
That's up there with Big Mike, that is.
Yeah, it's up there with Big Shill Mike. Bullshit platform. Thick as mince. It's up there, mate. I don't know who you are, Nuclear Thoughts, but you're up
Shulfar.
There. Yeah, Shulfar. I can see a T-shirt. There's a T-shirt definitely coming on that one. I can see that coming on our Shul merch store. Shulfar. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm sure one's going to pop out. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know where this... I don't really know what to say to
it. Well, it's just... it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's a compliment that we've... gathered a small amount of momentum to now be accused of being chills again. We've been accused of being Masons.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Is it? Do you know, the whole mindset, is it... So if we said, right, I'm going to announce that this is going to be the last podcast, right? So we've finished. Does that mean we're not shills anymore?
I don't know. I don't know. How does it work?
Where does the shill world come from?
How does it work? I mean, yeah. I have in my mind a briefcase of cash, you know, so I'm going...
A shill is basically when you are basically selling something for someone, but you're not telling the people you're selling it to that you're getting paid for pushing that, whatever it is, right?
I suppose I'm a shill... Well, I push my little gaping gob sculptures on here.
You're a gaping gob shill.
Yeah. I'm fucking crap shill if I'm one. Selling mediocre sculptures from my shed.
I mean, Mike plays guitar, right? For fuck's sake, and does some research in Beatles, right?
A
nice audience in America. James Dellingpole. I spoke to him a few times. I mean, it seems like a reasonable bloke. He's not set out to upset me anyway. Yeah. Gareth Icke, we had, 40-minute chat with him? We're going to have another chat with him, I think, next week, aren't we? Mm. I don't know. I mean,
no one's made me nervous and made me think, oh, God.
I know. Clive, I don't know, again, Clive, three, four nice podcasts with him. Yeah. Nice bloke, you know. I don't know. You missed a few out there at all, mate. Is that they're only ones? We haven't done bad out of 200 and... What did I say? 239 podcasts.
I'm sure in this world we're in, right? There is some, but and do you know what? We might have spoke to some. Who knows? But I'm just going to take everything at face value, and I'm not going to. I can't get into that world of they're this, they're that.
Do you know one thing? Right, me, you, and Mike were talking about this. I think I don't know if it were off a microphone or recording, but you can't take it that serious. I know it sounds mad because what we went through in 2020 was serious.
Yeah.
What if somebody's in a war, what we're going through is serious. But if you start taking it that serious, this information, it takes over you.
Well, look at it right this way.
My view anyway.
When we speak to anyone, right, I've got my own little set of opinions.
Yes.
I'm probably not going to argue with them about it, but I'm not going to change them unless they give me some real good information that makes me change my viewpoint.
Yeah.
So if some of these people are part of an operation, I don't really know how it can work. I don't know what the angle is.
No, I don't either.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, when we spoke to Gareth, right, I'll use Gareth as an example. He didn't say anything to me that I thought, oh, you're going to watch
Gareth. He said he moved 33 times. Someone pointed that out.
Right. That definitely means that he is then. We'll have to ask him. Yeah. 100%.
I said to Alan at work, and he's not over the thing. He's listened to a few of our shows and stuff. But I mentioned that it was about Gareth Icke, and he said, "Yeah, but to be honest, he said a lot of everything David Icke said has kind of come true. A couple of things are out there." I said, "Okay, so you're thinking about the Queen's a Lizard thing, right?" And like I've said on here before, I said to him, Alan, if you were going to go with the Queen's a Lizard, take Prince Charles, he's a lizard, he's a shape-shifting lizard. Or he's got all your best interests in that and he loves you. Which would you go for? And he went, shape-shifting lizard. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fuck hell. 100 times over, I'd go for that one.
Yeah.
You know. Does that make me sure? Because I'm sticking up for...
We've said this before, right? We've said this before. I didn't listen to David Icke, right? You did. You went to see him at O2 and stuff like that.
Yeah. I've got a few of his books, yeah.
Mark has... Yeah. How many people, Matt Bajerski has, he's somebody who Matt Bajerski listened to a lot. Mm. How many people have said to us it was David Icke that woke him up?
But then you've got to think, yeah, but that, was that part of the plan for him?
What, waking people up? Well, that means all of us are shills then.
Even you know what? Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was. I don't think so myself personally. Yeah. But I don't know. I can't fucking spend my time worrying about who's what and who isn't.
No.
If I take a slight like this, I won't even slag them off. We just won.
What do you have to do? Walk through life, right? Whipping yourself with nettles.
Yeah.
I don't know what do you have to do.
No, but I mean, what would we do
to prove anything?
We'd speak to someone. We'd get off the podcast and go, I'm not sure about him. I don't really want to do another one with him.
Yeah, I've never had that. Never.
But
done
we
that.
Wouldn't. No, I haven't.
I did it once with you.
I have it every week with you. That's different. Yeah. But yeah. I wouldn't start slagging him off saying they're a shill just because I didn't gel with them or something. You know, I'll slag you off. But I wouldn't, just because I didn't gel with them, I wouldn't say they're a shill. You know what I mean? I don't know. And I'm sure there is people kicking around.
But they don't
hide that well, though, do they? Because you've got your dumb jollies writing books and doing tours. Yeah. And then you've
but,
got...
But also, who is it? Neil Slanders. And that crackhead who does that thing with.
Why do you call him a crackhead?
I don't know.
Because he wears a bean, innit?
Yeah.
A bit crackheady when you've got a beanie on and a beard.
But I don't. What have you got to? There's nothing you can do, right? This guy here, or person here, I don't know who it is. Them other questions there were just questions. You know, there's no disagreement on them. That's your point of view or whatever. You know, on religion, Gaza, London rallies. I think you misheard us there. I have no issue with London rallies. To be honest with you, I thought they were amazing. I've used some of the footage in. The Matrix videos. I cry to a lot of that stuff, to be honest with you. There's not much that makes me cry outside my family, but watching that sends a shiver up my spine. It's one of the things in 2020, 2021, that, and I never went there and I could feel it.
I wish I could have gone, but because I'm so shit on social media, I didn't find out after it had happened.
Yeah. There's not much that brings a tear to my eye other than that. And all some of the other stuff as well, where some of them... Yeah, that brings a tear to me. I use Be Regulars to get rid of them. It's either anal beads or Be Regulars.
One in, one out.
Be Regulars anytime.
One in, one out.
Yeah. How do we get to that?
I don't know.
So where did we go from that?
Don't know. I think...
Oh, that were another thing. One weird thing that happened on with the Gareth Hyde one. So to email people, I use a system called MailChimp, right? I got that because the logo looks like Chris.
it does a bit.
did it? I got that in before I got it in about me. And you know, I've used MailChimp now since 2018, right? Since starting up my little email campaigns and stuff like that. I've never had an issue. I've never done anything, you know. I've never had a bad experience with them. On the Gareth Icke one, right, so I sent the email out and it didn't go out. This was the weekend that we were doing that July live show. I've lined it up to go out, so I'm getting that ready and doing live show, right? Obviously, I'm a shill. And...
I was clicking through my research.
got that to release, actually. The live show that we did in May with Mark, we recorded ours and Mark's, and it came out really well watchable, and the Q&A as well.
Yeah.
Where you were stood in front of a camera for 25 minutes.
I didn't know there were a fucking camera there.
No, it's just that one that's, you know, that there, like there.
Wearing gamer.
Wearing behind you. You're actually this arty farty limp wristed fucker who does pictures and stuff like that, and he didn't see camera behind you.
Yeah, red light.
That'd have been me, yeah, num nut me. But anyway, but MailChimp banned the email. Banned it. I'm trying to think what they said here. Automated abuse prevention system, Omnivore, has detected an action or content in your account that may be a violation of our acceptable use policy. Quote, love from your CCCP, Chinese Communist Party. For more information on these violations, please review acceptable use policy. If you have any questions or would like MailChimp to review this decision, please contact us. Guess what? I couldn't contact anybody. There were nobody available.
That is the world you live in, isn't it?
That is the world you live in. So it's obviously because we're a shill farm that we're getting banned like this from the mainstream. Just let me pull a few of them up. Yeah, Omnivore, yeah. Compliance at MailChimp. Yeah. There are some issues that might impact your ability to send. Very similar to YouTube, this stuff.
Yeah.
And PayPal. We got screwed on PayPal. We got turned off there because we shilled. Terms of service violation, critical. Saturday, 5th of July, 9:42. So we're sending this out early, pre-going up to...
Same as every one they've ever sent out as well.
Exactly the same.
Except it had Gareth Icke's name on it.
Except it had Icon, the name.
I think that was the flag.
I can't see it being anything else, Chris. They'll never tell me what it was. But on Monday, I got an email saying my account was back open again and everything were fine.
Yeah, keep giving us your money, motherfucker.
It was a total mistake.
Yeah.
But I've now got... I'm going to set up a different one and fuck these off. I can't deal with them. I looked into the background of Omnivore, or whatever they're called, and the woman that runs it is the chief finance officer of the World Economic Forum or something like that. I thought, I'm going to do a proper research on them mofos. Yeah. She was something like chief finance officer at World Economic Forum.
But once you've done that, there's no going back. Like the PayPal thing, once you've done that,
how can I trust them again? Going back to belief, trust and faith. How can you trust them again? Once you've found one thing that's wrong.
And the fact, why can't they just fucking tell you what the problem was? Instead of playing all this bullshit.
We won't let anybody send out anything about David Icke.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Put your fucking cards on the table, you spineless.
You're spineless, gutless. Bastards. Yeah. And then on the other side, right, you've got people like this guy here saying, it's shill farm. Mm. You know, I find it quite humorous, me.
It's insane.
This person here is as much of a moron as MailChimp.
Well, fuck him anyway. Where's the list?
I've got nothing against this person, but it's a odd state of affairs. I mean, we had to cut our podcast short with Mike at Sage of Queer because obviously we were going to his lodge meeting. It's like fucking hell, man. Really, you know? So people ask for people to do stuff like these guys who we've just mentioned here. They all stand up and do something, but yet they're all shills.
Yeah,
James Dellingpole, Gareth, Mike at Sage of Queer, Clive. I mean, really, Mark Devlin.
Maybe some of them are, but. No one said anything to me that I disagree with, or that flags it anyway.
But anyway, so I'm going to come up with a different. I'm going to get rid of MailChimp anyway. Like I got rid of PayPal. PayPal, fuck them off. But in fairness, PayPal's sending me emails now to reconnect because they're realizing they're lost a lot of clients. I noticed they're rebranding and changing their ways.
Screw them.
Yeah, fuck them. But yeah, all right then. Well, we'll come to the end of part one. A bit fast and furious, that, Chris, wasn't it?
I've got lots of juicy stuff to talk about in hour two.
Right, what are you going to talk about in hour two? Just headlines, Chris. Headlines.
Actually, I'll mention. No, I won't mention it. No, because it might get. If we're going to try and get this on YouTube, it might.
I have got another one actually to talk about. Go on.
I've got a good couple of things.
No, just headlines. You don't go into detail. I know it's difficult for you that one.
Yeah, it is difficult. I've got a good couple of things. I've got an illness coverage.
Yeah.
A film.
You could be our resident nurse. Nurse Gladys. Two. Yeah. Stroke two.
Plenty to talk about in hour two. Yeah. For sure.
So somebody sent another comment and I nearly forgot about this one. This is a decent one as well. Enjoyed your Bloodlines of the Ashes show the weekend, which was the first one that I put on YouTube. There's a second one out, actually, on...
But what's interesting there is that person had obviously not heard the Sage of Queer, so it was a good thing to put it out.
Yes, yeah. So I thought it'd be interesting, the character in Blackadder, Lord Percy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lord Percy featured in Blackadder 2, played by Tim McInerney. And he would have appeared in the rest of the series, but apparently didn't want to get typecast. But here's the thing, Blackadder was co-written by Richard Curtis. We did actually look into Richard Curtis.
Mm.
I can't remember why. And what information they're telling us here, I did actually know some of this information.
It was because he did the Beatles film.
That were it, yes. And this is what they put. I also wrote the Beatles film that you briefly touched on. I did have something written down on Richard Curtis, that were it. But again, sometimes when you're doing these pod recordings like with Mike we did, I had to flick through because Mike had, I think he wanted to do an hour and a half, didn't he, I think he said initially. and he realised that we were going to go over. So I cut stuff out as we were talking because I knew if we got into that one, it'd be 3 hours. But he ended up, still ended up doing 2 hours, 10 minutes. But anyway, so Richard Curtis, and this is the part I knew, was the son of a Czech refugee and is married to Emma Freud.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Freud?
Yeah. Famous grandfather was Siegmund.
Their family's got a lot of shit around them, haven't they?
Yeah. And we all know about Clement Freud. I mean, so you've got... I'm going to send this to Mike, actually. Thanks for this email, by the way. I'm going to send this over to Mike. He'll be interested in this.
Lucian Freud, the artist as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So a few emails in about... Somebody said they worked for Jane Asher. I don't know what they worked for her for. In summer. Don't look at this as though I think Jane Asher's a bad person, because I don't know Jane. I've not found anything that says that Jane Asher's a bad person.
No, they're a family part of the system.
Yeah.
I think is the point they're making.
Yeah. I remember somebody putting, I mentioned Annie Lennox, part of the Lennox aristocratic family. And somebody put a comment, I always knew Annie Lennox were a wrong'un. Well, I didn't say that. You know, what we're doing is building the picture up that these people are all intertwined in some way. Don't mean to say they're wrong'uns, these people. That's what I mean. Sometimes they're controlled, and like some of the stuff that with Boris Johnson, you know, that school he went to, where always, I mean, Boris Johnson didn't ask to go to that school to be whacked every day with a stick. You know, that's going to change people, is that? You know, and some of them are going to be shrinking violets, some are going to become raging lunatics, you know?
Like I always say, I think they've got a system that we'll never understand. We don't understand.
I tried explaining it to my father-in-law again. I've been on holiday with my father-in-law. And he gets some of it, didn't get jabbed, saw through all that. But then thinks Nigel Farage is going to save us. Right? And I can say, he's another control element, mate, honestly. He's not going to say... What they'll do is they'll let all these people in, then go, my wife said this, great intuition. Then they'll stop it, and Nigel Farage will get in or someone like that and say, I've stopped it all. Mm. But it's too late then, they're all in. Mm. Once they've hit the target, like the COVID jabs. Mm. Oh, yeah. I probably shouldn't have said that if I'm trying to get this on YouTube, but there you go anyway.
Just beep it out.
Like the arm spears. You know, once they hit the target, that's it. Like old Trumpet, apparently is kicking people out with ice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen some footage of that. It's fucking horrific.
But nobody knows who they're kicking out. You know, but my father-in-law thinks they're kicking just immigrants out. But they could be kicking anybody out.
No, I think they're kicking legal immigrants out.
Yeah, that's the point. That's where people reminds me of the Windrush thing. Remember when they lost all passports for them?
Yeah, people have lived there for ages and they're just dragging them out.
Mm. Yeah. And Trump's walking around with a smile on his face thinking he's doing... Yeah, look.
You need to trust the plan. You need to trust the plan.
Trust the plan, full plan.
Six months, they're going to kick it down fucking
road. He's sorted it all out.
Kicking it down road like the NASA.
He stopped all the wars.
Like the NASA tin can are going to for the fucking moon. Keep kicking it down road, sort it out.
So anyway, I don't know whether these people are bad people. They're part of the system. The system, like Dom Jolly. We said he were an MI6 agent. I've never said he were an MI6 agent. You know,
but I feel sympathy towards him.
Yeah,
that, and I'm, again, that's my overall observation of things. Yeah. Like for instance, that girl who was at the 7/7. Manchester bombings.
Yeah,
Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
that footage you showed where she's like, I don't remember. You'll have to ask the hospital. I feel sympathy for that person. I don't look around and think, you evil bitch, you're part of the fucking. Yeah. I feel genuinely sorry for him. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah, other. What's her name?
Taylor Swift. Singer,
blonde. Yeah, oh, not so much him. I mean her. I don't know. What is it? What's her name? The blonde girl who went nuts and shaved her head.
Oh, Britney Spears.
Yeah. You don't feel any hatred towards these people. You feel sympathy. Mm. You get the feeling that they've gone through the runners, don't they?
Yes. Yeah.
There's some you don't feel any sympathy for.
Tony Blair.
Yeah. I mean, but this is a thing we've been taught not to trust any instinct that we have over another human, aren't we? Just to, I don't know, aggressively attack.
Yeah. I don't watch much mainstream. I don't watch any mainstream TV, but I don't watch any of these box sets or something like that. But Matt Bajerski said to me, "You're going to watch one, Don. Watch Blacklist."
Right.
So I started watching Blacklist, the Blacklist with what's he called now? Is it? I have to look now. The Blacklist. James Spader.
Right.
Great actor, good actor. I mean, I don't
this
know.
This is the thing, isn't it? You go like this, you go, oh, I quite like him as an actor.
He was a good actor, right? Never been an old monstrous, but decent decent actor. Anyway, but the things they're talking about there is basically doing our job for us. They're talking about everything you could imagine happening that is behind the screen.
For yeah, instance, but that's the whole story, isn't it? The truth in the films lies are in the news.
Yes. The first ones were about a woman who ran a charity raising money for sex traffickers, right? Sex trafficking. But she actually ran the sex trafficking.
But ran the charity as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would never happen.
No.
Esther Hanson.
But these are the Machiavellian characters where what we don't understand is what I'm trying to say to my father-in-law is that they'll stand up on a microphone, Nigel Farage or whatever, tell you one thing, but do a totally different thing. Mm. And Trump, Blair, all these people, as we saw in 2020, that's what they do. And Zahawi is another one. These characters come out and they're working for these secret groups, and it's plain to see, you know, in my opinion. But
just to keep it topical, I went to see the new Superman film with Arseb. It came up the other week. You know me, like superhero films. Quite enjoyed the film, by the way. Thought it was quite entertaining. Two little bits of thing that I did pick up on, which is pretty fucking blatant, to be honest with you, was you've got these, Lex Luthor starts this war. Well, they're basically trying to wipe out all these peasants, Gaza style. Right. And there's literally a bit with the military aiming a gun at a kid's head. Now, you've got to think, you know, these films take a long time to make. Why? It's that bit in the middle of that film. I don't know. It was bizarre. And there was also another bit where they try and kill Superman. And it's almost like the graphene oxide him. And it's going into his lungs and into his internal organs to kill him.
Right. So they're basically just telling you everything that went on.
Jibby Jab and Gaza, both in that film. That's two things I picked up on in it anyway. Mm. It wasn't too blatant. I quite enjoyed the movie, to be fair.
Yeah.
Whatever you make of that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch films either. And in fairness, I wouldn't watch Blacklist if Mark hadn't said something. And I probably wouldn't have done it anyway because it's on, is it Amazon Prime? I mean, Mrs. found it. So I'll watch this.
I'll watch some of it. I'm going to watch a bit of that. I've got it.
Yeah. It is interesting to see that what they're writing about there is so in your face.
It's so blatant. I watched half of a film the other day. About a guy who's, I forgot what it's called, I think, is it The Amateur? And his wife gets murdered, and he works for the CIA, but he's...
That's right. Is that, who is it? Who's in that?
I've forgotten his name. Fucking brilliant. We're like Barry Norman, aren't we?
Barry Norbed.
Yeah. No, that's tough. I thought...
Michael Fassbender. Honohamender.
It's got, who is it in it? The guy who played the last baddie in the James Bond film.
Right.
He's got a weird name. I think it... He's got like an Arabic name.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know you mean, yeah.
Yeah, but he's all part
of... Ahu or something it's called, isn't it?
Malik.
Oh, that's him who played Freddie Mercury?
Yes, that's him.
Yeah.
No idea what his name is. I can't... Anyway, I started watching the beginning of that film, and he works for the CIA, but he's like a logistics computer genius, basically. And he finds this information out that the CIA... have been using drones to murder people.
Nah.
Yeah, but it's all in there, Fai. All the shit that we talk about is all in there, right at the beginning, just as a side note. Yeah. But what's interesting is they don't make out it's the CIA. It's just one guy in the CIA who's the bad guy. That's how they always do it, isn't it? Like in the Bond films, it's just one rogue agent who's the bad guy. It's not the whole system. It's just that one guy. It's that one guy who's... But he's doing it for the better good for America and to protect America.
And what they don't say is that one person can make such a big difference. He doesn't need all the rest of them because he's got the main people behind
him. They're all behind
him. Yeah.
But that's exactly what they did in the Bond films, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what they do in James Bond. There's one rogue.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody walks out of there wanting to be James Bond, which is basically a womanized alcoholic, chain smoking
murderer. Who just licensed to kill. Why should that prick have a license to kill? Yeah. Why should so hang on a minute? Let's give a license to kill to a half drunk sex pest. Let's give it to him. Let him just wander out world.
Yeah.
Shooting and fucking shagging everybody.
Why don't you get called a shill?
Yeah. And they're already, I know that Daniel Craig's over now, and they're already the new director, the guy who directed Dune, is directing the new James Bond films.
Right.
So they're bringing that serious edge to the new James Bond films because he's like a serious director.
Right.
Why does fucking James Bond get so much attention over and over and over again?
Well, it's simply because, I mean, the Fleming family, as we know, as I said, massive banking family worth something like $3 billion, part of the main Bank of England. I didn't realise this till the other day. That, you know, we're talking about Dom Jolly. Remember I mentioned that one of his great-great-great-grandparents was one of the first directors of the Bank of England?
Yeah.
Well, to be a director of the Bank of England, you had to be a shareholder.
Right.
You're talking billionaire class there.
Yeah.
You're not just talking a couple of quid.
Yeah.
In today's money. But anyway.
But again, what does that make Dom Jolly?
Well,
Didn't mean he's
a billionaire. Yeah. I know we got talking about him. I just remembered then, but it were. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because if his whole family, right? Again, how did we get to this point? But if his whole family ran spy schools and they were part of the spies for World War One, that's why they got locked up in Turkey, etc. Right. If they can come up with Operation Mockingbird, where most newscasters were working for intelligence services but didn't even know they were, I'm sorry, but Jolly, a second-rate comedian, can be being used as well. Sorry to drop that on you, Chris. But
well, you would hazard a guess as well that they think, no disrespect to Dom Jolly, but...
No, I don't want to disrespect him.
He's, you know, too quick-witted for me. He's so unimportant in their family that we just throw him to the TV.
Yeah. Yeah,
entertainment.
He's far too quick-witted. He's got a cult. He's got a cult following.
Yeah. Did you say cult?
Yeah, a lot of cult following him.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. We're going to go because we're stringing this along for some reason. Yeah. All right then. Thanks very much. It's been a bit, like I say, fast and furious today. Don't take it anything, or I haven't taken anything personal with those comments. It's quite interesting having a discussion. That's how I'm actually me and Chris talk, isn't it? It's a strange one because people will listen to us thinking we're not me and you then, we weren't arguing, but we'll have discussions, me and you, and sound like we're having an argument. Then I'll go and have a conversation with my wife and talk exactly the same way, and she'll think I'm having an
argument. Oh, God, forget about it. Fucking hell.
You know what I mean?
What are you talking about? This is what my mistress says to me. You're so rude. You're such a rude man. Like, well, you've been with me for fucking ever. So,
No, but me and you talk like that because we've been brought up like that. It's very combative, I would say. Yeah. And so, even when we're having a general conversation, you know, about stuff like that, I'll say, oh, that twat and this twat and that fucker.
Shut the fuck up, you dickhead.
Yeah. Exactly. And in reality, it means nothing. We just move on to the next thing. So, I hope nobody took it. Personally, because it wasn't aimed at anything.
It's funny actually at work where I work.
Apart from that last guy who said called a shill fam.
Brilliant. He's given us two.
Are they actually doing it on purpose to give us new ammunition?
Well, we're still talking about Big Shill Mics, and that was about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And Bullshit Platform.
Yeah.
They're all these fucking beautiful words. I'd never even thought of the SF thing. Shill
no,
fam.
No. Yeah. Shill fam. Yeah. Well, you could put sheep farm cross through it, shill.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Graffiti through it.
Shill fam.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's more material. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank
Might
you.
Help us sell more shill merch.
Thank you, whoever sent that
Thank you, universe, for being
in
that
I can see the t-shirt, actually, with the little boxes with a tick in it.
Yeah.
Big Shill Mics, tick.
Yeah.
Da-da-da, tick. Yeah. Shill farm.
Shill farm. Yeah. Thick as mince. Part breed motherfuckers. Yeah.
Gone forever.
Yeah, can do. Yeah. Anyway, all right, then. I'm out of here. Right, if you join us in part two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week. Bye.